Welcome to Stock Talk, the new Stockhouse podcast series that brings you behind-the-scenes insights into trending topics from capital markets, influencers, and entrepreneurs, broadcasting from the heart of the financial district in beautiful downtown Vancouver. Welcome to Stock Talk. I'm Cindy Broad, reporting for Stockhouse Media, and our coverage continues with our next company on the roster from the floor of the Extraordinary Futures Conference in Vancouver. Joining me today is Wayne Chen, and Wayne is the CEO of Interlapse. Interlapse trades on the Toronto Venture Exchange under the symbol INLA. Thanks so much for joining me today, Wayne.
Thanks for having me, Cindy.
Exciting sort of news about your company. Tell me a little bit about what Interlapse is, and then you have another sort of spin out of that investors can really get involved in with trading called CoinCurve. So tell me the relationship between the two companies and how that's structured.
Yeah, for sure. Interlapse Technologies Corp is a technology issuer on the TSX Venture Exchange, and we've recently acquired a platform, virtual currency platform, called CoinCurve, into the public platform. So now we're doing business, our primary business is CoinCurve, and really driving mass adoption of virtual currencies for the, you know, for the mass market.
Excellent. So just based on that structure, what's the importance of regulation in driving consumer trust when you're talking about, you know, currency exchange companies, crypto companies, that kind of thing, and why you guys feel that you've positioned the company accordingly in the structure that you've set up with it?
Yeah, for sure. Virtual currency has been scrutinized, obviously, a lot. You know, there's a lot of people that believe in it. Some people don't, right? Regulation has been very kind of gray as well.
Right.
And we've been in the virtual currency space for quite some time now. And one thing that was really, that stuck out that we really want to do was, again, you know, get the message out, educate people about virtual currency and the values of it, not necessarily the negativities of it as well.
Yeah.
So, you know, having CoinCurve, the ability to take it public through Interlapse, basically now we have a platform that regulates us through TSX Venture Exchange. And even that transaction to acquire CoinCurve from Interlapse took quite a bit of time to get through.
Right.
We had to work with institutions, work with, you know, Securities Commission, TSX itself as well, banks too as well. So there's a lot of regulatory responsibilities and requirements that we need to fulfill before we are able to be listed and actually, you know, serving the market as a virtual currency platform. So there's actually not many public companies that are doing virtual currency, at least in Canada, really a handful. Yep. I can count probably my hands, right, that are here.
Yep.
So I think that's a very good initiative and model that we have, that the power to really drive the adoption and hopefully legitimately as well, making it, you know, making everyone embrace this kind of technology going forward.
Excellent. So you guys have been public for how long now?
We've been public since end of May. So May, I believe 28th. So it's roughly about 3 months now. So,
okay, excellent. Yeah. So it's a new play for investors to like take a look at, which is always very exciting, something to do some due diligence on and find out how they can get involved.
Yeah.
So on that note, tell me how CoinCurve works exactly. Like what does the platform look like and how can you sign up? How do you use it?
Yeah, for sure. So CoinCurve is actually quite unique. Everyone that's been in the virtual currency space knows about exchanges, you know, that's been tossed around, right? So,
yeah.
We believe that, you know, there's a lot of exchanges out there and they're doing well, but the exchanges have a longer period to sign up. You know, it requires a lot more, contribution from the customer to provide information about themselves, funding the wallet and, you know, making a trade, right? So, and not everyone's a trader.
Right.
So, you know, we want to position ourselves to drive mass adoption. So we're talking anybody on the street level that really heard about Bitcoin or any virtual currency that want to get their hands on it, but don't know how. We want to build a platform that serves that market. So what that means is it's frictionless. We made it so simple that they can buy Bitcoins within 10 minutes.
Wow.
And then that's it, without needing to sign up as well. Think of it like a, you know, digital virtual ATM machine or like a vending machine where, you know, you put $2 in, press A1 and a bag of chips come out, right?
Yeah.
So that allows, you know, transaction to be settled cleanly, quickly. And at the end of the day, they own their Bitcoins. So we don't hold custody of the customer's coins as well. And that's really important because with a lot of hacking, as you've heard recently, and loss of funds, compromised funds of people, and as well as, you know, exchanges and platforms, we want to reduce that liability on our side and make it safe for people to buy and hold as well. So we don't have, you know, no sign up and no non-custodial for us, which makes it that much easier and safer.
Right. Interesting. Yeah. So from a wallet perspective, can you sort of explain to me how that works? If I'm holding my own currency, do I need a wallet? How does all of that work?
Yeah, for sure. So typically, like say in an exchange platform, you sign up, right? And then you would have to, you know, create a wallet. They create a wallet for you.
Yes.
And you have a Bitcoin wallet or Ethereum or whatever wallet that they have, that they serve. And so when you buy Bitcoins or trade Bitcoins, it goes into that wallet.
Yes.
But that wallet is in the custody of the exchange.
Correct.
Or the provider, right?
Yeah.
So what that means is it's you basically have to log in to do any transactions, trading, deposits, withdrawals, right?
Yeah.
So that takes a bit of time and authority for the service provider to grant that authority to basically withdraw or buy Bitcoins.
Yeah.
For us, we request the customer to provide their own wallet address. So they should have a wallet of their own.
Mm-hmm.
And then, so when they buy from us, we ask for their wallet address. And once we KYC their customer's information, you know, like KYC, and collect the payment, and make sure everything's, you know, good. Then we send the coins to their own personal wallet.
Okay.
So once that happens, that's actually on the blockchain. That's actually a blockchain transaction, right?
Gotcha.
Whereas in exchanges, sometimes, you know, it's not really on the blockchain because it's all internal. It's just a ledger movement. It's kind of like the banks, right? You know, you know, you have to log into RBC or BMO or TD Bank, whatever the bank you bank with, and you have to do your actions there, transactions through the authority of the bank.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas what we're doing is we're actually providing a service that gets them ability to buy Bitcoins easily and do it properly as well. How the white paper was written as a decentralized currency,
right,
for the whole world. And that's doing, CoinCurve is doing that.
Oh, yeah. Interesting. Yeah. Okay, well, that's very interesting. That's definitely a point of difference compared to a lot of other crypto-based exchange companies. Fantastic.
Yeah.
Okay, so basically, can you tell me the importance of driving mass adoption of virtual currency, especially among the unbanked, and how you are doing that exactly?
For sure, yeah. So, you know, Bitcoin and virtual currency, the whole kind of industry has been, Bitcoin has been more classified as a trading commodity up until now, right? People trade Bitcoins to US dollars or other cryptocurrencies and hopefully to make money out of it, right? So it's based on price.
Yeah.
But there's not a lot of companies out there that are you know, capitalizing on trying to promote it for use for as a payment, you know, instrument. And with any currency, you know, like the US dollar, you know, why is this so stable is because, you know, it's the most used currency in the world, mm-hmm. right? So with currency to be stabilized, you need to have use. And you need for use, that's adoption. That's a part of the adoption area. So we're focused on, first of all, distribution is step one. Once we distribute easily Bitcoins to people's hands and securely as well, we are giving them new features and platforms, such as our e-gift cards platform, where customers can sell their cryptocurrency, such as Bitcoin, into loading like a Walmart, Best Buy, or Amazon gift card, and now they can go spend on buying a microwave or like a you know, a cell phone or whatever, right?
Yeah.
So that's use. So, you know, it may not be right away where, you know, people are not going to use Bitcoin to pay for coffee or you know, services right away. Some are, but that's not the majority of the market. But we're trying to be there and help that movement to make it a usable currency. And if it's a usable currency, then it drives two things. One, it stabilizes the coin, hopefully. I mean, as long as, and it keeps demand for it high,
mm-hmm.
which means the price hopefully go up. And ultimately, the second part that's really important as well is the fact that, you know, institutions, banks, and regulators now see a value in this currency to be spendable,
right?
Not just traded, right? And,
yes.
you know, so they would naturally want to be part of this kind of phenomenon and paradigm shift in the technology industry. So we, as, you know, business operators and, you know, as, you know, consumers ourselves, we need to provide a service that's actually valuable so that other people can, you know, tap into it as well together. So it's really, you know, this market takes, it's not one company that's going to do it. It takes a bunch of companies that are doing the right thing,
mm-hmm.
have the same vision to drive adoption and start, and CoinCurve hopefully wants to be one of the first to do that. And we're doing that right now.
Excellent. Well, it sounds like you're definitely moving forward in the right direction. That's fantastic. can you tell us about the importance of efficiency and utility and driving mass adoption. Like you touched on it. If you would like to expand on that a little bit to our investor base, that'd be great.
Yeah, actually, so that's a good point. So, you know, with angling off of what I was saying earlier, you know, once we have more utility, such as, you know, our e-gift cards service that we can, people can basically buy big gift cards. Now we have a distribution model and we also have a utility model.
Okay.
So CoinCurve has both. And because we built this CoinCurve platform in our backyard, Canada, and got it listed as well. So we've, you know, we're regulated heavily too, by essentially TSX. Now the next stage is to expand that service worldwide, right? So the underbank, as you mentioned earlier on your previous question, which I failed to answer now, you know, because CoinCurve is so easy and it's only 7 screens and people can buy Bitcoins within 10 minutes, right? The idea is about, you know, transaction throughput. So if you take this simple model and apply it to like, you know, underbanked countries in, for example, Southeast Asia, like Philippines or Indonesia or anywhere else that's like hyperinflated, mass population, underbanked. You know, people bank in $100 per week. They can feed a whole family, as an example,
right,
some of these places.
Yeah.
So those are the places that, like, they have a demand for, you know, alternative currencies as well,
yes,
right? As a store of value and maybe as a payment tool too. And they do want to buy smaller amounts, like $20 to $500, which is all you can buy in CoinCurve. We don't do large amounts.
Oh,
okay. It's for retail small buyers that want to buy it, get their hands on Bitcoin and spend it quickly as well. So that market is really the market we're after.
Gotcha.
And we just started in Canada as a good foundation for that regulatory framework to start out. But, you know, it's easy to expand because it's simple.
Right.
And, you know, as long as, you know, the jurisdiction we're going to is, you know, Bitcoin friendly and wants to do business with Bitcoin, then it's a matter of time before we kind of hit up country by country.
Right.
I'm going to these places as well.
Great. Yeah. Oh, well, thanks for clarifying that.
Yeah.
That's fantastic. Okay. So finally, what can you tell our investor audience about sort of the current valuation of your stock, what your market cap looks like, just as an overview so that they can dig in and sort of investigate that further?
For sure. Yeah. So we right now, we're essentially Interlapse trading under symbol INLA on TSX Venture Exchange. Mm-hmm. We have 17.5 million shares out roughly. So it's really tightly controlled, as I mentioned earlier. Our market cap is roughly around the 7 million range.
Okay.
So we're really small.
Yeah.
Really, I mean, kind of like considered a startup company, right? But we do have an operating business generating revenue. So that's really good. And big expansion plans with a lot of features too. So that's good. You know, so I think that's, you know, trading essentially at around 40 cents, I believe, this morning as of, I guess, September 23rd.
Okay.
So, I mean, obviously the stock moves up and down. But, you know, I think we have a good platform, at least a public platform, to, you know, look at additional raising capital and you know, building a good following investor base as well to propel this kind of industry of virtual currency.
Excellent. Yeah. Okay. Well, again, I'd like to thank you very much, Wayne, for joining us and sharing some very insightful information about Interlapse and CoinCurve with our StockHost listeners. Again, Wayne Chen is the CEO of Interlapse. And CoinCurve is the platform, so you can check that out online as well. I'm Cindy Broad, reporting for Stockhouse Media and the Stock Talk Tech and Cannabis Sector podcast from the floor of the Extraordinary Future Conference 2019. Thanks so much for listening.
Just a reminder to follow us on social media at Stockhouse for the latest updates on all your favorite public companies in North America. For more in-depth coverage, industry news, and to connect with our active investor community, you can visit our website at stockhouse.com. Also, don't forget to visit our new and improved Stockhouse Deal Room on site for unique and exclusive private placement opportunities only available on stockhouse.com.